Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All right, welcome to the show and happy Friday. I'm your host, Amal Epinobi, and as you guys know, normally we use our Fridays on this show to do a little bit of a fun podcast to some extent. I don't know how fun today's Friday is going to be as we woke up to some new news that there were going to be new Title IX regulations pushed through by the Biden administration, which directly impact women's spaces, women's sports, women's rights, and we are going to talk about that today extensively. Now, I do have a little bit of bad news to deliver to you guys. Taylor is not on today's show. I know.
Oh, tomato. I'm throwing tomatoes.
I get it. It's a sad day, but he will be back next week on Monday. Now, we are going to unpack all the different new regulations surrounding Title IX. I'm sure if you're on the internet today, you're seeing a lot of people freak out about this. It's honestly been a really strange news day. I woke up to all the Title IX news. I'm scrolling through Twitter, looking at all these different news sources, reading articles, and then I see that a man set himself on fire outside of the Trump trial this morning, which is absolutely insane. We might touch on that a little bit at the end of the show. I don't know how much press I want to give to that, because I do think that one of the motivators behind these acts of self-immolation that seem to be happening, that's two in 1 year now, the media has a lot of involvement. People want to be seen, and there's an interesting sort of angle on that that we can take, but we will get there in just a moment. Now, you'll see the title of this show is saying bye-bye to women's rights in a lot of different ways, and it's because today we're going to talk about Title IX. For those of you who don't know what Title IX is, it's really a civil rights law that was set into place in around 1972, and it was mainly regarding women's sports, or at least that's how people view Title IX. At the time, women weren't really participating in sports, let alone, like, you know, allowed to participate in sports. And this law was sort of set forth that said, you know, if you are an institution that is receiving federal funding, you have to abide by these regulations when we're talking about women's involvement in sports, their resources, when we're talking about sex-based discrimination, and that brings us Title IX. So we've heard lots of talk about Title IX, not just recently, but for decades now, expanding it, rolling it back, all of these different things. And of course, the Biden administration came out with its new rewrite of Title IX, which now includes discrimination on the basis of gender identity. You heard it here first, folks. Now, if you're a man who identifies as a woman, or a woman who identifies as a man, or non-binary, and all these different things, that sort of discrimination that you can apparently receive on the basis of having that identity is now protected within the civil rights law that is Title IX. Now, we'll give a little bit of background here before we get into what's happening today, and we talk about, you know, the Riley Gaines of it all and the female athletes of it all and how this affects sports, how this affects women's locker rooms and restrooms, how it affects sexual assault allegations on college campuses, which many didn't think would be a part of this, but it actually is a part of this conversation. But we'll talk about the history. You know, prior to Title IX, as I said, there wasn't a lot of involvement from women in sports. You found that it was a male-dominated sort of facet of our society, and that women weren't really brought into the fold in that respect, and many wanted to be there. You'll hear the famous story of this woman, Catherine Swister, I hope I pronounced her last name right, who in the 1960s decided that she was going to run a marathon. And this was obviously a male-dominated thing to do. Women were not allowed. She ended up filing and filling out the information to participate in this marathon by just putting her initials, and showed up on the day and was like, you know what? I'm gonna run that mother effing race. And she ran that race. And you can see, you know, these men grabbing her. She was constantly harassed throughout the duration of this marathon for participating as a woman. The news was covering it and saying, you know, a leggy lady has now entered this marathon and is competing against the men. And a lot of people did not take too kindly to her act. So this was sort of the environment surrounding women's involvement in sports, especially when it gets to, you know, things that you're filling out forms for and paying for, like these marathons. And she was ahead of her time. And of course, years later, we get the Title IX protections, which many think is solely about sports, but it actually expands much further than that. Now, here in 2024, what stories do we have surrounding women's sports? Of course, all of you are probably familiar with the name Leah Thomas, the NCAA swimmer who was once Will Thomas, a biological man who wasn't competing too well in the male pool of swimming, I believe somewhere in the late 400s as far as competing against men, decided, I am now going to become Leah Thomas and let's compete against women. And boom, went straight up to the top of the leaderboard. And a lot of people raised their hands and said, yo, you know what? This is not okay. Biological men who retain the biological advantages that they have over women throughout their transition should not be allowed to compete against women. And this reignited yet another debate in regard to Title IX as to whether or not it should protect on the basis of gender identity, or if it is really made for the biological sex that you have when you are born, not that you are assigned when you were born. Now, today we have stories like this one where you can see these young children. You might wonder what's going on in this video here. This is five middle school female athletes in West Virginia who are refusing to throw shot put against a male by the name of Becky Pepper Jackson. This comes just 2 days after the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals blocked the WV law that says you must compete in a category that matches your sex. And you can see they're standing out. They're saying, you know, I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to compete against a biological man. And mind you, these are 13 and 14 year olds who are stepping out and saying, you know what, this is unfair. You know, you could say largely this is maybe at the guise of their parents, and their parents are maybe guiding them towards this decision. But honestly, I think even at 13 and 14 years old, even younger than that, many children understand the reality of biological sex, understand the impact that it has on them, not just in sports, but in every facet of society. And they deeply understand the fact that a biological male should not be encouraged or allowed to compete against biological women when they are clearly advantaged in that competition. So these are the sorts of stories that we have. And you would think that the general consensus would be, let's acknowledge that there's a biological difference. Let's separate men and women as we have in virtually every single sports division that exists. And let's allow for women to have their space. And that is a protected space everywhere from the locker room to the competition itself. But no, because today we have changes to Title IX. Now, just before we get into these changes, I want to give everybody a little bit of a reminder here. This is not just a college law. A lot of people view Title IX as just impacting colleges. It is any and all educational programs that receive federal funding or funding from the government. You are now impacted by Title IX. And you're going to hear this language from this current administration in their new iteration of Title IX that says, we're expanding it to protect more people, to protect the LGBTQ, to protect, you know, people who identify as non-binary and trans, to protect victims of sexual assault. But you'll actually find that in their expansion of Title IX, they're actually canceling out the protections that the law was originally enacted for. So, as you can tell, I'm very passionate about this subject matter. We sort of knew this day was coming, as we've had many a conversation about women's spaces and protection. And of course, there's been a lot of combativeness on both sides of the issue. I'd argue that one is more logical, but I digress. Let's read some of the language out of this new iteration of Title IX. It says here, the department therefore issues these final regulations to provide greater clarity regarding the definition of sex-based harassment, the scope of sex discrimination, including recipients' obligation not to discriminate based on sexual stereotypes, sex characteristics, pregnancy or related conditions, sexual orientation, and gender identity, and recipients' obligation to provide an educational environment free from discrimination on the basis of sex. Now, there's a whole lot of jargon in there. Mind you, I am not studied in law, but I do have two eyes and I can read, and we're going to bring this down to layman's terms. Essentially, this law that was originally created on the basis of sex, which was, you know, binary in its original form, man and woman, male and female, is now expanding its idea of sex to include, you know, sex characteristics, because you're no longer a woman or a man. You are a person with a uterus or a person with a penis, or you're a man who identifies as a woman or a woman who identifies as a man. And when you expand sex to include gender identity, which it says here, you're essentially canceling out the idea that there is a binary and that women deserve their own protected spaces, because now you're allowing biological men to infiltrate those spaces on the basis of their gender identity, which now in the world we live in, you don't really have to prove that gender identity in any way. You don't have to undergo specific medical treatments to prove that gender identity. You can simply raise your hand and say, I now identify as a woman, and you will be ushered into a woman's space. Please make that make sense, that we fought so long for women to have their own spaces, to have a protected place, and to be able to enjoy things like sports on their own level. And now that is being rolled back in the name of expansion, though. So see the little tricks of language that they use here. And in nearly every single article that I read from a left-leaning publication on this new rewrite of Title IX, they stated that nowhere is it explicitly written that this is going to impact female sports. And you will see this in virtually every article you read as well. Shout outs to May Mailman on Twitter for going through a lot of what's written in what I believe is an over 1,500 page document on this rewrite. And she says, the Biden administration wants to say sports aren't affected by its gender ideology Title IX rule. This is a trick. The Biden administration argues the regulation doesn't need to say sports because Title IX already bans women's sports on its own accord. In fact, the Biden DOJ filed this in West Virginia's women's sports case. It says that Title IX's text already requires female athletes to accommodate men. And if you open up that link, which is right here, it does state right here, its view that Title IX of the Educational Amendments of 1972 and the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment do not permit West Virginia to categorically exclude transgender girls from participating in single-sex sports restricted to girls. So they're already using Title IX in saying that you're not allowed to exclude transgender athletes, which if we use that in real language, they're using Title IX in saying you are not allowed to exclude biological men from competing with women. The Leah Thomases are allowed. The Fallon Foxes are allowed. The insert name here of transgender male athlete that wants to compete against women, that is allowed due to the protections that are awarded by Title IX. Now, as I said, a lot of people view Title IX as simply being about sports and that's it. It's about much more than that. So we're going to get into the expansion of this. Riley Gaines, shout out to Riley Gaines, who I think we will be having on the show shortly, in the near future. She tweeted this out. In a nutshell, the new rewrite means men can take academic and athletic scholarships from women. Men will have full access to bathrooms, locker rooms, etc. Men could be housed in dorm rooms with women, and students and faculty must compel their speech to require the use of preferred pronouns. So there's a lot to unpack here. And that's why, you know, when a lot of people say, oh, you don't even watch women's sports. Why do you care about these women? You know, nobody really cares. It's not going to impact that many people. Already, just on principle alone, we know that it's wrong and we know that it is going to impact women. And we've seen this in many different ways outside of just, you know, collegiate and K through 12 sports, but in actual professional competitions. But even so, there is more than just sports. And when you allow for biological men to compete against women in sports, you grant the basis of their gender identity, and then it moves further. So if a biological man is allowed to, I don't know, fight in the ring with a woman in boxing, or compete against her in surfing, or bicycling, or swimming, why can't they go to the same locker room you're allowing them to compete? Why can't they use the same bathroom? Why can't they be housed in the same dormitory? These are all questions that we have to answer. Because if you allow for one, the slippery slope does in fact exist, and it will become other things. Now, the girls who were swimming for the NCAA mentioned on several occasions that somebody exposed themselves to them in the women's locker room. And now, if you're going under this new rewrite of Title IX, that is simply allowed, because you're not allowed to hold your hand out and say, no, you're a biological man, you can't be in here. That would be discrimination on the basis of their gender identity, which, again, you can just self-identify. You can be a full-ass man with the stubble growing in, a whole mustache, all these different things, and say you're a woman. And then you're discriminating against that person if you tell them, nope, you're not allowed to be in my locker room. You are not allowed to be in my bathroom. And then if you go on to misgender that person, which means accurately gender that person on the basis of their biological sex, that is now protected under this new Title IX rule. So you could be brought up for, you know, discrimination and investigated for discrimination, for misgendering that person. And this is what we call compelled speech. And you'll remember that a large part of the reason that we have many of our figures that talk about these issues today, for one example, Jordan Peterson, is because of this idea of compelled speech. He was famously fighting against the C-16 bill in Canada that essentially said you should not misgender students, and that is a form of discrimination. Now we have the same thing written here in the United States. Now, this is day one. We'll see how extensively this is applied to people and just how far this goes and just how deeply it impacts all the different institutions that receive federal funding that are going to be impacted by this. But I can say on principle alone, this is not right. And you'll know that on this show, we've discussed J.K. Rowling in Scotland as they pushed forth new hate crime laws, which they sold to people as protecting transgender individuals, protecting non-binary, and not even protecting women. They explicitly left out the protection of women in that new hate crime law. And as soon as that law was initiated and set in place, J.K. Rowling herself got over 8,000 reports placed and filed against her for misgendering transgender individuals. So we'll see how this Title IX rule gets weaponized against people who are rational and choosing to live in reality. But I can imagine it's going to be overwhelming the more that you embolden people to enforce these new regulations onto others. Now, there's other stuff that is intermingled in here. They say they want to essentially protect people who have been victims of sexual assault so that when they come forward, the investigation process isn't as daunting as it typically is. Under Betsy DeVos, when she was handling education in the U.S., they essentially said, if there's an act of sexual assault on a college campus and you go and file a complaint and bring about an accusation against somebody, let's say a woman brings an accusation against a man, you guys will both come forward and there will be a live hearing where they essentially go through all the evidence in the case, the woman states the claim, the man defends himself against the claim, and there is a process of cross-examination, meaning both parties are questioned on their recollection of what happened in regard to the assault and the allegation being made, which sounds like due process, right? If you're accused of a crime, especially one like sexual assault or sexual misconduct, you would hope that both parties, and hopefully in a live hearing, are going to be questioned and cross-examined just to make sure that everything's kosher, because sometimes you have people get away with assault and misconduct because things aren't properly investigated. And other times you have people who make false allegations of assault and misconduct during these processes. And you have a right to due process. Now, under this new Title IX rewrite, you can have a live hearing if you want to. So essentially, you can come forward with an allegation against somebody and they can go, okay, yeah, we'll look into that, but they don't have to do a live hearing where each is cross-examined, because apparently this might be too much pressure, I guess, on the victim of the sexual assault to have to recount the tale of what happened to them. And instead, they can go through these single-person investigations where one person comes to a representative, which more than likely is going to be like part of the DEI department in the school, and states their case about the assault and about the allegation. And then the other person who is accused has a back and forth with that person to recount. And then a decision is made. And that's how the accuser is levied their punishment or let free. I don't know about y'all, but I much prefer a live hearing when it comes to things like that, especially in this wacky world that we live in, where there are many false allegations and claims made so that people can seek some sort of advantage or destroy the reputation of another human being. I'd prefer, in the instance of being a victim of sexual assault and of being the accused of sexual assault, that there's some sort of live hearing and cross-examination. But now that seems to be being thrown out the window because they feel like that is too much pressure, and they seem to think that this is a protection for sexual assault victims. Tricky stuff. Again, day one, I don't know how impactful this is actually going to be, and this is something we're just going to have to wait and see how it directly impacts people. But in the meantime, I'm going to call it out and talk about the fact that this does not make sense. When we think about in 1972, when this law was really brought forth and passed, the win that it was of now women, you get equal resources, equal funding. You get to participate alongside male counterparts, also in your own division, and you get to really shine and do something that for a long time you weren't allowed to do and it wasn't socially acceptable. And now this win that they think this is that you now get to sort of reinstate the patriarchy, where biological men are allowed to dominate in your sports, your locker rooms. They are allowed to get your scholarships and the different accolades that you could receive. And this is somehow meant to be celebrated. We're meant to be cheering this on. This is supposed to be a really big win. And whilst they're packaging this as a win for sexual assault victims, in that they're making it a better process for investigating, making it easier for women to come forward with their accusations of assault, both women and men, because I should say it's a shared experience, sexual assault. They're allowing that same assault by saying that biological men can be in your locker rooms and bathrooms. Can y'all make that make sense? You say you want to protect victims of sexual assault and sexual misconduct, but you're allowing men into women's locker rooms and bathrooms to actively assault them. That used to be called assault. If you were in a locker room or a spa or a gym and a whole ass man came into the bathroom and flashed you or opened up his towel, you'd get to call the police and the man would be dealt with. He must do time. But now we're just saying, hey, here's a fresh little loophole for all you predators out there. And I must make it clear every time I talk about this subject matter, I'm not going at this to directly target people who are truly struggling with gender dysphoria and transgenderism. Although you can truly struggle and also be a predator, I do think this is just going to open up a huge loophole for male predators who now get to self-ID as trans and enter these spaces. Now, of course, again, there are transgender people who are also predators, but it is not all of them. There are men who are also predators, but it is not all of them. I will go ahead and make that clear. When you redefine sex in this way, which by redefining it just cancels out all definitions that we've had throughout human history of sex. It means nothing anymore. What is Title IX if men get to abuse the rights awarded to women with Title IX? It is nothingness. It is the invisibility, like right before. It's nothing. In fact, this emboldens people to harass women. And in case you needed evidence of this, we've discussed this on the show before, but I'll bring up an older sexual assault case of Loudoun County, Loudoun County, Virginia. In Loudoun County, Virginia, a teenage girl was sexually assaulted at the Loudoun County High School bathroom in 2021. And this set off a firestorm of political controversy, as this article states. And the family is now in the midst of a $30 million civil rights lawsuit against the county school board for allegedly not following Title IX protocol in regard to the investigation of the sexual misconduct that took place. Now, this man was found guilty, or boy, I should say, was found guilty of sodomizing this teenage girl. And it happened in a bathroom because this individual was allowed into the girl's bathroom because this individual identified as a girl. There you go. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, this is not going to happen that often. This is a very rare case. We shouldn't use this case to alter laws or to advocate on behalf of women's spaces, because this is a rarity. Most people who identify as trans and say they are women simply want to go into the bathroom and use the bathroom. And you know what? I will say that that's true. I do believe that most people now that say they're a woman and go into the bathroom probably just want to use the bathroom and get out, and they just feel more comfortable in a women's space. They're truly convinced of their womanhood. But one victim is enough for me. One victim is enough. And we've gone through many victims on this show before. One is enough. As soon as it happens to one little girl, which this has already happened in Loudoun County, the proof is there, the lawsuit's there, the person's been dealt with, done. Sorry, we made a mistake. We need to roll it back. We can't just be all willy-nilly with you guys going wherever you want because you identify with something, because unfortunately it allows predators to, you know, take over our system. And that's an unfortunate reality for those who want to use the women's bathroom, but they can't. I'm sorry, you can't. Now, we did get a $50 super chat. We read those immediately. Sun Tzu Mi just says a good old thumbs up, I believe, in the super chat. I hope you didn't mean to send a message and forgot it, but thank you so much for that. Now, I'm going to read through this little bit of inspiration here, and shout out to Colin Wright for his reporting on this as well. He says, unsurprisingly, Biden's new Title IX overhaul was influenced by non-binary and transgender students threatening to commit suicide if they are not granted access to school facilities that align with their gender identity instead of sex. And it's highlighted here, commenters asserted that a safe educational environment for non-binary and transgender students is a matter of life and death. Many transgender students shared that they or their friends had attempted suicide because of the discrimination and harassment they had experienced. Okay. Now, I want to give the utmost sympathy and empathy for those who are struggling with their identity and it is leading them to a route of self-harm and suicide, which we know the transgender community experience in, you know, record rates. Now, we have to ask why they experience those rates of suicide. Is it truly because of a lack of societal acceptance, or is it because of other psychological comorbidities that they may be experiencing alongside their gender dysphoria? I would argue that it is more often the latter, because even in countries and societies that are generally accepting of transgender people and identities, the suicide rate is still astronomical when compared to those who are not experiencing gender dysphoria. So let's lay that to rest. But the idea that they can write this into law and say that this is a matter of life or death is just astounding, when it is actually a matter of life or death for the female victims that are going to exist in the wake of something like this. And it seems like we are now using an idea of perceived harm to write laws. In the case of the hate crime law in Scotland, they're saying, you know, transgender and non-binary people are deeply hurt, offended, and they feel that you have hatred for them when you misgender them. Again, this is not an objective definition of hate. It's not an objective definition of offense. I don't even know how you would create an objective definition of offense or hate. It is perceived offense or hate, which we all feel and experience. We cannot then write laws based on that perceived hate and offense and then prosecute people on that basis or change the way our society has always functioned based on perceived offense and hatred. So I'm sorry to these students who are struggling with their identity and they go to school and they have a hard time and they want to go to the girls' bathroom because that's a little thing that makes them feel better about who they are deep inside. That is a perceived offense. A real offense is a young girl being raped and sodomized in a school bathroom because they're allowing biological men to go into the bathroom. That's real. The feeling that you get of offense or sadness or despair when being misgendered or not being able to go to the bathroom, I'm sorry, but that is something that you have to grapple with and you have to deal with, because we don't want actual, real, horrific victims of crimes being created in the wake of this. And J.K. Rowling talks extensively about the fact that now it's going to become not only women being assaulted and victimized throughout this process, but the people, the perpetrators of that crime, are going to be able to identify as women. And if we follow this to its logical conclusion, those are going to be logged as female crimes. So now you can be a male predator who says, I'm a woman. You go into the women's locker room at school, assault a woman, flash a woman, whatever the case may be, go out of the locker room and say, that experience is protected because of Title IX. So you guys wrote that law, I'm allowed to do that. And then let's say you take it a step further and you commit an actual crime against a woman and you actually assault somebody, which I hope, even with these Title IX laws, is still going to be prosecuted. I can at least grant them that they will do that as they did in Loudoun County. Then you get to say, I'm a woman. Is that then going to be logged as a female crime? And we're suddenly going to see this uptick in female perpetrators of rape? Gosh. Put a damn red nose on my face, because this is clown world. This is clown world, y'all. I can't deal with this. These are the updates with Title IX. Huge L. We've taken a huge L today that people think that this is rational and logical and this is the next move. Now, you even have people saying that this is not enough, that more needs to be done. Here's a tweet from Dr. Nicole Badera, who says, Biden wrote trans athletes out of the new Title IX protections. They're celebrating the new Title IX rule as a huge progressive step forward for LGBTQ rights on campus, but they abandoned the trans athletes who are in the center of the culture war to dismantle trans rights. So because they didn't explicitly state that transgender athletes would be protected in this new Title IX rewrite, people are upset and they say you need to go one step further. If the idea is that you cannot discriminate against people on the basis of their gender identity, wouldn't that include sports? Because if you tell a biological man that he can't compete in women's sports, you're discriminating against him on the basis of his gender identity, which is exactly why we have that example out of the DOJ where they've already used Title IX to tell a school, you gotta let men compete. We got another $50 super chat. Let's see. From Los Angeles. Is it Oaxaca, Los Angeles? Let's see. Someone said there is a difference between immunity and rights. This movement is more of an immunity fight to do, say, act as you please without any consequences. But beware, you cannot speak against it without consequences. Why? Yeah, I mean, the line is really being drawn in the sand here, and you feel like you get wins. Like the NAIA said, hey, we're not going to allow men to compete in women's sports. This is a ruling that we're going to put forward right now. But I imagine these are colleges that are receiving federal funding. So now that's going to be essentially rolled back, or there's going to be a bunch of Title IX complaints about the discrimination. So in one way, they're saying we want people to be able to express themselves in any given way. You know, the world is your oyster. You can take on any identity, and we will accept that and respect that. Unless your identity is something that is dissident to the 2024 worldview that you can identify as anything at any given moment. And if you reject people's preferred pronouns or their neo-pronouns or somebody who wants to be called Skittle self, then we're gonna throw the book at you with Title IX. Another super chat from Claudia C. She says, hey girl, I've been watching you for a long time. You're inspiring in how unequivocally you inform others. Oops, sorry, I'm losing your super chat here. I'm Kellyanne Conway's daughter, and these topics have ensued chaos in my life, and I used to be an extreme leftist, so no, there's now more. Oh, there's, I think you wanted to write more, but your super chat, I cannot see. Claudia Conway, I remember you. I don't know if we ever went back and forth on TikTok at one point. I think we might have gone back and forth on TikTok. Shout out to you, girl. I appreciate your super chat. Oh, you've continued. Okay. In your super chat, you say, so no, there's now more educated, more secure teenager in the world. Would love to come on if you'd ever have me, Claudia Conway. I would love to. This is your official invite. I will find a way to reach out to you, maybe on Instagram or social media, and we can talk. Because yeah, I think we did go back and forth on. I don't even remember the subject that it was on TikTok. But awesome. I'm so glad that that something has resonated with you, and I would love to have a conversation with you on that. I can imagine you probably had a very similar dynamic to me, where you grow up in a household with a certain political ideology and then rebel against it in a lot of ways, which is exactly what I did. And then I had to sort of find my footing by trying to let go of that bias and going on my own exploration. And this just happens to be where I landed. So yeah, you are definitely invited on the show. I'd love to talk to you. So yeah, where were we? We were talking about, oh, the fact that this is not enough. So people are saying you need to explicitly put, you know, transgender athletes in this. Don't worry, baby. Don't worry, babes. They're covered. Everything's covered. The line in the sand has been drawn. So we'll see what happens. I mean, this is going to impact a lot of people. I saw a story the other day where this kid was suspended for 3 days because he said the phrase illegal alien in school. And this is obviously not protected under Title IX, has nothing to do with it. But I imagine if that's the sort of precedent we're setting in the American education system, that you're going to see a whole lot of students being dealt with for misgendering, for not participating in sports, like those young girls we showed at the beginning of the show who said, I'm not going to throw shot put against a biological male. And then what happens? This is has a very deep impact on education, and it's so dissident to what a liberal education is truly about. When you are in an educational space, you're supposed to be able to share all of your ideas, good, bad, ugly, and contend with them and go back and forth with students and teachers and talk about them Socratically. And if you're not allowed to do that, or if you're having a fear sort of instilled in your heart before you're able to speak, it just is going to create students sort of caging up. It actually creates more animosity than it solves when you force people to be accepting of something, or to say certain phrases, or to participate in society in a certain way. They take the parts of themselves that don't agree with them and they shove them back and find other people in sort of these echo chambers that exist elsewhere, and you actually end up radicalizing people rather than solving the problem that you set out to solve. We got another $50 super chat. This is from What About This. It says, if the conversation must be had, but it should if the conversation must be had, but it should at least start with people whose genitalia have been removed. If you still have your male genitalia, you cannot go in my daughter's changing room. Yeah, I mean, if we're gonna push it all the way to this has to be dealt with, people who have a certain gender identity have to go to a certain bathroom. Snip, snip, baby. You better be snipped. You better be smooth as a Ken doll down there if you're going to be going into my daughter's bathroom, my spa, whatever. Smooth as a Ken doll. Because, you know, when you get your nuts nipped, maybe that takes away your predatory intentions. You know, when dogs get neutered, they seem to calm down a little bit. Maybe that would help with the predatory idea. There's not much you can do if there's nothing down there. But you know what they call that these days? If you say that, you're a trans medicalist. That's another insult, like TERF and stuff that they throw at people. If you think that people have to undergo surgery in order to use the bathroom of their identity, you're a trans medicalist. And that is offensive towards people who can't afford to get surgery, or who are in a different stage in their transition, or who don't want to receive surgeries. I'm sorry, baby. Smooth as a Ken doll. I'm just gonna just put that on. Put that on the bathroom door. Must be smooth as a Ken doll if man. Oh, little. At least we can laugh. At least we can laugh at the stuff that's happening right now, because if we didn't laugh, we would cry. Now, I know I said I'd briefly talk about this, and I don't even know if I want to show the news coverage of this, but a man set himself on fire outside of the Trump trial that is currently happening right now in New York City. I think I found a more tasteful news clip. I watched the one on CNN, and CNN was filming this. The guy sets himself on fire, and they film him for a considerable amount of time. I think this man is deceased. I don't know if we have an update on that, and we also don't know his identity yet. And the CNN reporter, they just turn back to her, and for 5 minutes, she's just standing there watching this guy who's on fire for, I believe, over a minute, maybe a minute and 30 or something like that. And she's just going, yes, I smell burning flesh in the air. I also smell whatever he used to ignite himself. There's multiple fires. Oh, look, the firefighters are coming in and they're throwing jackets at him, or they're extinguishing him. And she just looked at him for 5 minutes and just continued reporting, which was one of the most dystopian videos I have ever watched. You guys can check that out on your own. I don't know if I want to give that much airtime on this channel. Very strange. Because I don't know, I feel like I remember a time where if that had happened on the news and something that drastic was taking place and it happened to be on film, they would have cut and said, this is insane. I'm so sorry that you guys had to see that. We're gonna cover something else until we have further details on whatever just happened there. But instead, the reporter just is talking to the camera while watching this man burn alive and explaining. She's literally saying, I am smelling burning flesh in the air right now. He has been on fire for over a minute, and she's just standing there watching him. Which, I don't know, maybe I'm sensitive or something, and that is actually normal, and that's what the news does these days, but I don't remember that being the case. Now, here's the Fox News coverage of it.
Oh, my God.
All right, there's a fire that has started, as you can see live.
Now, in this, you can't really see it.
We wonder if a person is on fire.
Themselves on fire.
In the fire. We apologize for showing this. Get a fire extinguisher. Do we have a fire extinguisher in the truck? Do we have a fire extinguisher in the truck? Connor, bring a fire extinguisher out. Anyone have a fire extinguisher?
They don't want. Okay.
We deeply apologize for what has happened. This man.
Eric, we're going to let you.
They're putting jackets over the body of this man. A man has set himself on fire. They have put jackets over him. They're now putting fire extinguishers to extinguish the fire. Someone has set himself on fire.
So there you go. And yeah, I think covered that at least semi-properly. If you're going to get footage, if you got the footage of it incidentally, you kind of have to report, I guess, on what people just saw, but cover it. Don't show it. They showed it for a considerable amount of time on CNN. There's very graphic videos of this occurring, as, of course, many people were outside of the courts and filming this entire process. It's gruesome. And, you know, self-immolation, which is what this act is, setting yourself on fire as a means of committing suicide. I did not think we'd get two of those within the span of a year. For those of you who don't remember, a young soldier by the name of Aaron Bushnell set himself on fire outside, I believe, the Israeli embassy as to protest what's happening in the Middle East and to show his support for Palestinians. Now we have this man who is not identified yet, who may or may not be alive, although from the footage that I saw of this very gruesome act, I don't think he made it out of what he did. That's two self-immolations. We don't know his motive. We don't know why he did it. We don't know what statement he was trying to make yet, but it's just deeply concerning as far as the state of our mental health as a country, as a society. It's a very sick world that we're living in, and I can't help but think that the media has a large part of accountability to take in this, because when you think about the act of self-immolation, of setting yourself on fire like that, of course you're trying to make a statement, you're trying to be seen, but also there's this sort of direness to the act of setting yourself on fire in a public space like this. And one, you see it as sort of a means of getting media attention, which, if this is the level you have to reach in order to gain media attention, that says something. Second, it's the media covering it and, like, unflinchingly showing this man setting himself on fire and discussing the fact that they're smelling burning flesh, and there's this underlying energy to the reporting that this is going to be seen. You know, people are going to want to see this. I can't believe this is happening right in front of my eyes. I'm going to describe in vivid detail what's happening, because people are going to turn to CNN, or they're going to turn to Fox, or whatever's happening, and they're going to watch this. And when those two things exist in the same time, you're bound to create more and more heinous acts, because the threshold for the human attention span and in order to get attention is so high that now you have people setting themselves on fire. And the direness, I don't even know if that's a word, of the situation I can only imagine somebody doing that if you have just been fire hose consuming media that is convincing you that the world is going to end if you don't set yourself on fire. And I can imagine that could be somewhat the impression you'd get if you're constantly taking in American media, because it is so salacious and scandalous, and they play things up and they try to constantly convince you that, like, the world is ending, or this is the most important election in human history, and this is fascism and totalitarianism and this versus that. And if you are truly taking them at their word with the lies and the narrative that they are spinning to you, I could see how mental illness could be at the other end of that. I could see how self-immolation could be at the other end of that, because you are being lied to so forcefully and so unwaveringly that if you believe they're honest, you would think the world is just massively effed up right now, and that there's not much you can do, and that everybody's gonna die, and blah, blah, blah. If this guy wins, it means this, and if this guy means, it means the other. What a devastating and strange and horrific thing to do. And again, that's two in less than a year, I believe. I hope this is not a new thing that people start doing, and that, you know, this doesn't pick up, because a self-immolation trend is not cool. I mean, we'll wait and see who this guy actually was, what his motive was behind doing that. I will say, though, I don't know. You know, a lot of people took the death of Aaron Bushnell, this guy who set himself on fire, to espouse his views about protecting Palestinians and stuff. And they saw that as like a brave thing. You saw a lot of, you know, particularly left-leaning people, not that being left-leaning makes you pro-Palestinian or anti-Israeli or whatever, but they were saying, you know, what a brave thing to do. You know, as Aaron Bushnell, I don't know about that. It's kind of like, it's a nuts thing to do. And when people take these great lengths and measures as a means of protest, in something in me invalidates the viewpoint, because you've done something like so drastic, so crazy, so something that I struggle so hard to understand someone doing. It's kind of like when you see the climate activists who super glue their hands to the pavement and you go, okay, you know, I want to understand why somebody does something like that. And clearly you are deeply concerned, and clearly you have somehow convinced yourself that there is a message so important that you need to super glue your hand to the pavement or throw soup at a painting. But I'm not sure I can trust your perspective and your judgment based on the way you chose to communicate that to me. So when you throw soup at Van Gogh or super glue yourself to the pavement, or, you know, God forbid, set yourself on fire in front of a courthouse, I don't know that it elevates the message that you're trying to put out to the public. In fact, I think it does the opposite. And it may get your name out there and it may spark up a conversation about mental health and the place you have to be in to commit an act like this, or how fervently you have to believe an idea to commit an act like this. But I don't know that it validates the view or it validates the idea. But the media covers it. And that's what matters for a lot of people, is that if I'm going to die and I have a message, at least the media is going to cover it, because they are like dogs to a bone. They must find the most salacious story. And if you create it for them, that's what they'll cover. It's the same thing with like mass shootings and things like that. You know that if you take the most radical approach, at the very least, your name and face is going to be out there and people are going to talk about what you did. But it's a flash in the pan, honestly, in regard to the news cycle. And this will, like Aaron Bushnell, turn over in another week. The problem is that as you raise the threshold for what gets media attention and the flashes in the pan continue, you just get more and more people taking drastic measures to put out a message. And then what that does to our attention spans and to our visceral emotions is it desensitizes us. So the third time that a person sets themselves on fire outside of a courthouse or an embassy or somewhere where they want to make a statement, we're going to go, oh, well, that's three in 365 days. A lot of people set themselves on fire now. It's like a trend to set yourself on fire. So then what do you have to do after that in order to gain the attention of the media and to gain the attention of the American people and to make headline news? Because what comes after setting yourself on fire? These are just questions that I have, because I know the desensitization is real. I watched it in that reporter, and I honestly, you know what? I think I do want to show part of the reporting just so you can feel what I'm talking about. I'm going to sort of mute the part where they show it, but I want you to hear this woman talk about it. Okay, let's find it. Let's see if it'll load. Because this to me was like, I'm like, this is nuts. I cannot imagine somebody covering something like this in this way. Okay, let me skip the part where he's actually on fire.
A person whose body appears to be on the ground being surrounded by officers. I have multiple officers. I've counted about a dozen officers on the scene. The fire is still burning. It's now in multiple locations. It continues to blaze. We right now have officers removing their coats, trying to surround this person to envelop their body to prevent them from further going into flames. You can smell. I'm sitting here with Evan Perez. You can smell.
Okay, pausing. And she's going to say, you can smell the burning flesh in the air. And she's just standing there. I don't know. I'm like, maybe there's something normal about this. Maybe it's like, you know, when you're driving past a car accident and you just can't help but turn your head to the side and look through the window. There's something so devastating and so unfathomable happening in front of you that you just, it's the car crash that you can't look away from. And maybe that's what it is here. And maybe in this situation, I would be the same and looking to see what's going on. But something in me is just like, first of all, would you want to be in the same vicinity as somebody who's burning their flesh alive? Would you not be concerned? My survival instinct at the very least would kick in and I'd be like, I don't know, something's going to be happening here. But I guess it's something you can't look away from. It's also her job. So maybe her job is to continue to report, even though it's happening right in front of her. But I think there's different news outlets that handled it differently. Some of them sort of cut away and said, you know, we're not going to cover this anymore. We're going to, you know, bring you further details. And I think we need to alter maybe what the job of news is, because it used to be that if something this crazy happened, your newscaster would just sit in front of you and say, you know, and in further news tonight, in New York City, a man has set himself on fire outside of Trump's court proceedings. And he would have just told you that. But now we watch it and report on it live. Very strange, guys. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. You'll have to let me know in the comments down below. We are going to get into your super chats now and talk all things Title IX and self-immolation. I cannot believe that is what I'm saying. Let me pull up your super chats and we can go through and read them. Okay. Let's see. Scroll through here. Okay, Daniel Santana. It's number one today, which is, as always, on Friday. We got to go ahead and hit that happy Friday chime there. He says, hello, how are each of you doing today? Well, it's just me. I'm doing great today. Could have had better news going on, but you know we're always here to cover it and talk about it. Kaylee Chartier, hope I said your name correctly. Hello, I love your channel and I watch your videos to make a 20-page paper not as daunting. I will say I am so glad that I'm no longer in the stage of life where I have to write papers. We've talked about it on this show before, like the DBQs that you used to have to do with school and stuff. Because I took a lot of AP classes in high school and there were so many DBQs that had to be written. I was over them. So I'm lucky to not have to write papers anymore. And I feel for you because a 20-page paper is way more than a damn DBQ. Joy says, I guess we had to trade Taylor to get the braids. Can't say I'm mad. It's a fair trade. JK, but you look beautiful, Amala, speaking for the whole chat. Thank you, Joy. Yeah, I did get my braids done this weekend. It was a nice long process. It took about 4 hours this time, just shorter than normal. So I'm hanging out. Name Les sends a little emoji. I can't read what it says, but it looks like a little fox that's doing a little dance. Thank you for that. Sasha O'Neill says, happy Friday, everyone. Thanks for asking, Danny. We're doing well. Hey, T and A, looking fire. A and T, what else do you think is necessary for the pendulum to swing back? I don't know. I don't know what else needs to happen. Honestly, it is, I have an unfortunate answer in that it does take more stories of victimization. And this does play in with the guy setting himself on fire, unfortunately. Like I said, that threshold to get attention, as it gets higher and higher and higher, the stories that we need for people to change their minds, I think, get higher and higher and higher. When you hear things like the story of that young girl who was assaulted at her school in a bathroom, when you hear something that horrifying, you would think that would be enough, right? That'd be enough to roll back everything that we're working on right now and realize that we need to slow down and at least think about this a little bit more before we just forge ahead and force in a new reality that it's not, that the world is not yet ready for, and it doesn't happen. So you have to think how many more of those stories have to happen. But we just have to keep talking about it, elevating it, fighting back against these ideas. And, you know, it's not to instill division and divisiveness and to hate each other. It's just to come to a rational conclusion that leads to the best outcomes for the most people, honestly. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people I don't want to say the word possessed, a lot of people who find themselves agreeing with this gender ideology because they think it's the route that's going to help the most people, we have to talk about why that may not be the case without villainizing people, but by elevating stories that prove that this is probably not the best direction to go in. Carlos Barrickle sends a little emoji in that says, goal. Thank you. Appreciate that, Carlos. Compassionate, kind-hearted says, first time super chat. Ooh, okay, we got a first time super chatter. Amala, you have brought immense value, joy, meaning to my life. Can you react to the NSB Kissing Booth official music video? I'm gonna have to look that up. I've never heard of that, so I'm gonna have to check that out, and I can get back to you on that. I always go through your super chat suggestions and look up all the little bits and bobs that you guys throw in there. The Taylor fan club, who's probably going to be disappointed because Taylor's not here today. I do believe that respect for women is declining. In Manchester, women are being filmed from a distance and those videos are being posted online. Police are urging women, if they see it, call the police. Yeah, I don't know. Because, you know, in a lot of ways, women are making huge strides in society. I think on the basis of equality, it's funnily enough, we managed to get into a really good space as women where things were going well. Things are going to swing back, however, if you start allowing the stuff like what we talked about today. Because the idea of encouraging victims to come forward while simultaneously creating more victims is just a funny, interesting dynamic at play. And we'll see how this ends up affecting women. But I think you have to have, I don't want to say you have to have a certain amount of disrespect for women in order to believe these things, but the how do I say this? The priority that women take, biological women take in your worldview has to be moved a few rungs down in order for things like this to come to fruition. Julian Giagrande says, you're pretty with your hair down. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad that you guys are liking the new hairstyle. I figured it was time to change it up a little bit. Okay, Frau Klanslerin. You guys, Taylor is normally so much better with pronunciations and names because he's the polyglot among the both of us. He speaks many languages, but I will try my best. I want to make it clear that it's not feminism as a whole supporting this trans stuff. It's a cancerous subset called liberal feminists, and the rest of us hate the libfems, as we call them. Yeah, so in many ways, I identify with the sort of foundational feminism that brought women to where we were maybe a decade back. Maybe we need to roll it back a little bit, and you know, the right to vote and participate in like culture and sports and all these different things. Yeah, that's great, and I think a lot of other countries are going to see eras where that's ushered in, and there's still many calls for feminism outside of the United States that are warranted. This new iteration, this modern day feminism that is being ushered in, I think flies in the face of old school feminism, because the very idea of allowing men into the female category flies in the face of foundational feminism. I don't hate liberal feminists, as I used to be a liberal feminist, and I did not, you know, hate myself. I don't hate the old person that I was. I just question and want to challenge them a little bit and have discussions about these things. The Nicodemus 1984 says, the braids are back. Congratulations to both of you for the consistent quality of your show, which is a breath of fresh air for me to hear from France. That is awesome. Thank you so much, Nicodemus. I know France has their own gender struggles and things going back and forth. I appreciated a story that we covered a while back where France sort of has this, you're going to have to remind me of the name in the comments down below, but the institution that really upholds the French language, or at least traditionally upholds the French language, was like, no, you're not inputting all the different pronoun changing and the gender theory into our language. We have a deep respect for the French language. You guys are going to have to do that on your own time. We are not officially changing it, and that I can appreciate, and I wish we did here in the United States, but now we have preferred pronouns protection. And again, I said, if that, like J.K. Rowling said, if that leads to you going to jail, lock me up, put me in the clink. put me in the clink. I'm going to have to use your super chats for commissary to get ramen packets in the local jail. Oh my gosh. Okay, Sam M says, my husband runs a website, Title IX for All, that tracks lawsuits against colleges where male students were falsely accused. Big issue in academia. 100%. You have to think, you know, and I'm not saying this is all cases. There are plenty, let me be very clear, of valid instances of women being assaulted, and those people need to be dealt with. Those men need to be dealt with. The same for men being assaulted, and those women need to be dealt with, or those men need to be dealt with. People who are actually committing assaults, no go, no good in our society. But we know that sexual assault allegations can be weaponized, and we've covered it on this show. I mean, recently, that MLB player, Trevor Bauer, was falsely accused of sexual assault by a woman who planned it from day one and was texting her friend and saying, you know, I've got this MLB player and I'm gonna get him, he's on the hook, all these different things. And if we know this happens, there needs to be protection set in place in the form of due process that allows for these allegations to be investigated, allows for people to be cross-examined, and you know, that will hopefully safeguard people from false allegations and get victims who are truly victims their justice, we would hope. From Claudia Conway, we definitely did go back and forth. I was crazy, LMFAO, but I respect and love you so much now. You're awesome. Back at you, Claudia. That is so funny. I love that. That, like, what a twist to the story. What a small world. That is so great. We need to talk, most definitely. Cyber White Tiger says, Amala looking great on this fine Friday. I hope you and Taylor have a great weekend. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do this weekend. I need to get out and do something. I need to be physically active. You guys let me know what your weekend plans are down in the chat below. Stephanie Fonseca says, I used to get angry when people said males are stronger. Now I'm older and no, it stemmed from my insecurity. Promised that I would never let a man SA me again. Yeah, see that, first of all, I'm so sorry that you experienced that. And the very acknowledgement of that is what makes protections for sexual assault victims, for women's spaces, for women's rights so important. In order to really get there, I think there does have to be an acknowledgement that men carry a significant biological advantage over women. And that leaves us more, you know, privy to being victimized. We function at a disadvantage. And to have the strength to acknowledge that despite your experiences is a really beautiful thing. And I'm glad that you made it there in your journey. And it shouldn't devalue you or devalue the strength that you do have as a woman to acknowledge the reality that men just so happen to have more. We have our strengths, they have theirs. And the fact that in a large part their strengths can be used against us is why we need our own spaces and why things like Title IX are so important. Derek B says, you should speak to Kelly J. Keen about this issue. She is amazing. Mr. Minnow is also great. I hope you get to react to some of his parody videos too. Yes, we need to get Kelly J. Keen on the docket. As I said, I think Riley Gaines is going to make an appearance on this show very soon. So you guys are going to have to let me know all the different things we want to talk to her about and what you want to hear from her on. We kind of want to take a new angle and get a different side, hopefully, of Riley. Beauty by Asia Nicole, or Asia Nicole, says, it's attention-seeking at its scariest. And that may be in regard to the self-immolation outside of Trump's court hearing today. And yeah, there's an attention-seeking, of course, undergirding that idea of setting yourself on fire in front of people. It is a plea and a cry out to be seen in some way, shape, or form. I just don't know that it achieves anything healthy. The Taylor Fan Club says, I missed the first 20 minutes. Where is my parasocial husband at? Your parasocial husband, Taylor, is actually at a wedding, which is funny because you've said a husband. I don't think it's your guys' wedding, or else you would be there too. But that is where your parasocial husband is. Trey Brannon says only Amala can come across as adorable and charming when talking about snipping nuts. Also, as another listener suggested, you need a merch shop. I'm working on clothing for you guys. I just want to make it cool and fun and fresh and like some dope streetwear and not something that like has my face and name on it. I want to be something, want it to be something that has a message, but you guys can just wear it and look dope. You know, like I want a, like a dope set of sweats that you can wear that has some cool graphics on it and t-shirts and hats and cool stuff. It's coming. It's around the bend. W. Day Walker says, I just caught the end of the stream, saw Title IX discussion title, but then see people on fire over Trump. That escalated quickly. Also, love the hair. Thank you. Yes, things did escalate very quickly. The shock on my face when I saw this story come in this morning was astounding. I just could not believe what I was seeing. It's one of the things that I genuinely cannot put myself in the headspace of somebody who is going to commit an act like that, and especially one who follows through on the act. Marta M says, what do you think about Dawkins pleading for Christian culture back? Maybe that would help. Greetings from Poland. Marta, I won't go into my full thoughts on this, but I did send that clip of Richard Dawkins saying that he identifies as a cultural Christian, which apparently he has been saying for quite some time. I think he's been saying that for two decades. I am not inclined to agree with that take, and I could go on for a very long time about why I don't agree with that, although he sees himself as a cultural Christian. And yeah, I don't think that there needs to be some major push to bring cultural Christianity back into society. And that's not to say that I think people should be less Christian if they are. It's just to say I have many, many a thought on that, the wording of that phrase, and the fact that it grants a little bit too much in the argument between Richard Dawkins and other people who are believers, like William Lane Craig or, you know, the Ben Shapiros of the world. And Ben Shapiro already responded and said, cultural Christianity is not enough. So maybe we need to do another video on that down the line. S. Paul Sess says, shouts out to you with the poetic justice braids. The frony tail slaps harder, though. Okay, so you like the bun better. I love that the super chat has just become commentary on the different hairstyles that you guys like. I guess drop your favorite hairstyle in the chat down below. By the way, your wardrobe has been fire lately. Did you download Shein? JK, no, I don't shop at Shein, for I fear that little Chinese children are making the clothes, and they are dyeing them with red dye and tears. And I don't want to participate in that. And you know, Shein invites all these influencers to their factories and stuff, and they're like, so I'm like at the Shein factory and it's like so gorgeous, and look at these women who are totally making clothes and not being forced to be here, and you know, Shein paid for my flight and hotel accommodations here in China, so that must mean that they're not using slave labor. Baby girl, if you bought the shirt for like $4.99, if you're buying whole ass outfits for $4.99, somebody is not being paid to make those clothes, more than likely, in my opinion. And leave it to the CCP to do a good cover up on the fact that they're using slave labor. Now, of course, I'm sure many things are made in less than kosher environments. So who am I to speak? Buy Shein if you want to buy Shein, I guess. What about this? Says they should make a S.A. Dexter show where the guys... S.A., the S.A.ers. Wow. Okay, for those of you who don't know what Dexter is, isn't Dexter, he serial kills serial killers? That's like his thing, he kills the serial killers? You'll have to correct me if I'm wrong on that. So you want a Dexter show where guys who commit sexual assault get sexually assaulted. You know what? I imagine that does happen naturally in prison, which is why it's very important that you get the actual person who's committed a sexual assault in prison. You know how horrific it would be to be falsely accused of sexual assault to go through the whole process of your reputation being dragged through the mud, which in a lot of ways you can't come back from, and then you go to prison and get sexually assaulted? Nope. Nope. This is why you need protections and investigations and cross-examinations. Very important. Mark, the WPATH report showed that trans minor care failed kids. Yeah, and it shows that kids are realizing that they go through stages of gender dysphoria and they grow themselves out of it, which, duh. Y'all know how many stages we went through as children when we're going through puberty and stuff. Essentially, being non-binary and trans as a kid right now is like being an emo kid or being goth. And this is not to like make fun, because everybody goes through their little stages and their obsessions and things that help them build an identity around themselves when they're young, and it's a turbulent time. And where it used to be like being goth or emo or skater kid or identifying with this group or this band or this, that, now it's like, I'm non-binary and I'm trans, and I'm not going to dye my hair black. I'm going to dye my hair blue, and I'm not going to do the like goth makeup or whatever. My pronouns are now they, them. And it's kind of something that you should allow people to explore, you know, at least on a social level, I think, to some extent, but not medically. You know, if you want to play around with your identity as most people do when they're young, there's a certain extent to which you can do that, you know, but we can't get crazy, and we can't start, you know, shifting language and changing the definition of words and changing which bathroom kids go to and don't go to. Oh, so we'll see how that ends up. Kwazakule Mafeka says, "Hi, Amala, only. Last time you were alone, I hesitated sending a super chat. Anyways, have a great weekend, and you look beautiful as always. Hashtag smooth as a Ken doll." I don't know if that's going to take off. I don't know that I want that to take off. Smooth as a Ken doll. I kind of just, I just blurted it out, I think, and that just came out. But yeah, you know what? I might as well stand by it. I said it. You got to be smooth as a Ken doll if you're going to use the women's bathroom. Danny Morales says, "As a devoted Christian, cultural Christianity does not exist. Christians can call themselves Christian. Christians that call themselves Christians should truly study the Bible. Love you, Amala." Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing. Like, he's, at least in the clip that's circulating, he's talking about, you know, cathedrals and these sort of bastions of what we would call Christian culture, or like the influence that Christianity has had sort of tangentially on culture through its existence and through people's adherence to Christianity. And in that way, he calls himself a cultural Christian because he wants the culture that was ushered in by Christianity, so he claims, to be upheld, and he doesn't want to see these pillars be replaced by like mosques or temples or other religious figures. I don't know that I agree with that. And again, when you say like there's no such thing as being a cultural Christian, like baked in there is the idea of the belief in Christ and in the tenets of Christianity. And to grant that on a cultural level is to grant things further, which I don't personally stand by. You guys know that I'm not religious, so I would not refer to myself as a cultural Christian. And I would have at least, at the very least, further questions for Richard Dawkins on his proclamation of being a cultural Christian. Chuduma says, "I'm female in a male-dominated field, confident in defense skills, had to fight a dude 2 times my size the other day and restrain him on my own. But I'm also a prior SA Vic and don't want to have to worry about safety in women's spaces. This world is insane." Wow, you had to fight a dude 2 times your size the other day and restrain him on your own. Are you in law enforcement? What is going on there? That's such an interesting thing to have to do. I can't say that I would be able to do that. I have myself been thinking, okay, I want to take self-defense classes or jiu-jitsu or whatever. Just the idea of even being in a class where I have to grapple with a man who is on top of me or like sweating on me, I'm like, ugh. But it's a, you know, it's a necessary means, I guess. And maybe one day I will do that. Maybe we'll do a YouTube video. Amala trains jiu-jitsu, and you guys can watch me throughout the process. I can imagine there's something empowering in that. In your super chat, you said you're a prior SA victim. I can imagine there's something empowering probably in being in a male-dominated field now and being able to take care and restrain a man who's two times your size. But also, yeah, you bring up an interesting point that this sort of reignites a PTSD for people who are sexual assault victims. Why would you want women to have to worry about the possibility of a man being in their space? And I know that's sort of a worry regardless, because if you're truly a predator, you can do what you want and go what you want, go where you want. But why open up the loophole and the opportunity for these women to have to worry about it? I think about, you know, when I was young, I took swim classes and swim lessons at our local pool in my small town. And we used to have to go after school to the locker room. And in the women's locker room, you'd change. And there's nowhere to change. You know, there's not little cubicles, at least where I went. And there's other grown women in there changing. And I remember as a kid in a space where, you know, you're around other women, it's fine, still feeling a sense of vulnerability towards changing in front of other women. And that is something that you get over with over time. And you'll go into the gym locker room at your local gym and there's just women naked in there. You go to the spa and you get naked to go to the spa. It's a very common occurrence. But think about the vulnerability that you already have being around other women in a space where you're taking your clothes off. And now inject the idea that a man can be there at any given moment. Think about these girls who are competing in sports against, you know, the Leah Thomases of the world, where not only is it a worry that there's a man in your locker room, but it's nearly a guarantee if this person is competing. And you have no idea the motivations of this biological man who is there. You have no idea if they're genuinely experiencing gender dysphoria or if they receive some sort of pleasure from the fact that they're now able to be in a woman's space. And it seems like that's exactly what Leah Thomas was experiencing. AGP, autogynephilia. You guys can look that up if you are at all curious about what that means. But there are people with not great motivations entering these spaces. Now, that was our last super chat. So I encourage you guys to let me know your thoughts in the comments down below after the stream. Drop all the different things that are occurring in your head when you think about this new rewrite of Title IX. What did you think about the man self-immolating outside of the Trump court hearings today in New York City? Let me know down below. As always, I encourage healthy disagreement in the comments down below, so duke it out, but do so respectfully. And if you like this video, like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time I'm live, which is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern. Plus, I post videos for you guys every single day. Tomorrow's video is, would you rather be stuck in the forest with a man or a bear? Most women are answering bear. I'm answering man, and I will tell you why during tomorrow's video, and I would love to hear your answer. Would you rather be stuck in the forest with a man or a bear? Or as a South Park puts it, you could be a man, bear, pig. You can get both, plus a pig. Let me know in the comments on tomorrow's video. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Love ya. Have a great weekend, and I will see you tomorrow.